Welcome back to Total Information AM with Tom Ackerman. I'm Megan Lynch, and this morning we talk about cyber squatting and cyber monopolies with KMOX legal analyst Brad Young, partner at Harris Dow Fisher & Young. Good morning, Brad. Brad will be with us in just a moment. We're going to start out talking about Google after the ruling that Google's search dominance is a monopoly. There's news this week that the Justice Department is discussing a potential breakup of the company as a remedy. So joining us now, KMOX legal analyst Brad Young. Good morning. Do you think a breakup of Google would actually work?
Well, that's certainly a possibility, Megan, and that's being discussed literally right now with the Justice Department and with members of the court, particularly in light of this ruling that came down last week. It was a 277-page ruling, very long, very detailed. But here's the bottom line. The court ruled, it was Judge Mehta in Washington, and he ruled that Google had locked up about 90% of the internet search market. And the way they did it is what was the focus of the antitrust suit, because they had Google had a partnership with Apple to be the default search provider in the Safari browser. Also, Google locked up similar agreements like with mobile carriers such as Samsung and Verizon. So that's what really gets to the heart of the monopolistic practice here, Megan, is that because of contracts, Google was guaranteed all of that search engine traffic. And because of that guarantee, then Google could charge more for their ads than, say, ads on Microsoft Bing or DuckDuckGo or any of the other search engines that are out there. So that's the focus. And the reason why this is so monumental in the tech world, Megan, is because Google is essentially a $2 trillion business. Their ad revenue last year, $175 billion just from ads. And so this is literally shaking the tech world.
Is it reminiscent at all of AT&T when they had a monopoly on phones, Brad? I mean, what is the historic precedent here?
It is very, very similar, Tom, to that situation. And it's also similar to what Microsoft had. I believe it was a 1998 case where Microsoft got sued by the U.S. Justice Department for the same thing, because they had monopolized computer operating systems, just like, for example, you mentioned AT&T owning every part of the phone business. And so that's the problem with monopolies. Once a company owns every part of the process, then at that point, prices go up. And that's the harm to consumers. And so that's why when you look at Google right now, some of the remedies that are being discussed include breaking up Google. I mean, we haven't seen a breakup of a major company since AT&T was busted. You also go back to Standard Oil being broken up almost 100 years ago. So this is a monumental step by the Justice Department. And we could see, for example, we could see Google being forced to sell off its Chrome business, or Google being forced to cancel or nullify contracts with Apple or Samsung or Verizon in order to make more competition in the internet search market.
Google is dealing with a legal fight on another front. The Federal Trade Commission is weighing in on another case against Google, Brad, that accuses it of monopolizing how consumers access apps. So what's at stake in this case for Google and for consumers?
Yeah, Google is literally fighting a multi-front legal war here. And this case goes to trial next month. And in this case, the situation or the issue at play there is how apps are locked into the Google system. And so it gets to that same monopolistic practice of making sure that Google owns every part of the process through contractual relationships. And so one of the powers of the court, it could be in this trial that's going to start next month, is similar to what we just discussed. The court could violate these, or rather nullify these contracts. The courts could force Google to break apart into separate, smaller pieces, with the overall overarching goal here is to make the search market and the app market more competitive, because with competition comes lower prices and more options for consumers. And that's the goal here by the Justice Department.
Finally, Brad, what is cyber squatting? Go into detail on that, if you would. I mean, it sounds to me like it's, it's a bit of an imposter or trying to capitalize on someone else's name. Is that what it is? And how is it impacting the presidential election?
Well, it's impacting the presidential election here, Tom, because, and this happens, this has happened every election for the past few years. We have somebody who registered the domain name Harris Walls, which, of course, for the presidential candidate Harris and Tim Walls, the VP. But this was done 4 years ago, and the purpose is to sell it. And in fact, this attorney that registered HarrisWalls.com just sold it for $15,000. That doesn't sound like a lot of money, but the point is he does this a lot and makes money off of these. And people can look at it and say, well, you're trying to exploit this for profit. But it really gets to a bigger issue, Tom, and that's what you call cyber squatting. Under the law, it is a violation of the law to register someone's name, someone else's name, for your own personal profit. Can't do that. Now, if, for example, you say, I don't like johnsmith.com, that's freedom of speech, that you're expressing a political position with that. But just registering johnsmith.com, if you're not John Smith, that can be called cyber squatting. And that's what we see a lot of with these domain names. And we're seeing it come out to play. This guy registered it 4 years ago, but he has lots of these just guessing about who, what different candidates Harris could be paired with. And this time it worked for him. But really, it gets to that greater issue of cyber squatting.
That's wild. Sorry to interrupt, Megan, but I was like, what? How much did it cost for him to get Harris Walls? And then
not
made,
much.
Yeah.
It doesn't cost very much to register those domain names. And in fact, I don't know this for a fact in this case, but I've litigated these cyber squatting claims before for corporate customers and clients, and people would register all types of derivations like Harris Walls for President, Harris Walls for America, Harris Walls, all of the possible derivative names of that. And you do all of that with the understanding that, well, somebody might pay me $1 million to buy this domain name. And from a legal perspective, that has a lot of potential downside if you get sued under the cyber squatting law.
And probably a lot of times it goes without complaint if people don't know that this really skirts the law.
It does go without complaint, Megan. And then the other issue, and I think this is really why this one attorney only charges $15,000 to sell these, is that to sue him under this cyber squatting law, it would probably cost $100,000 in legal fees. And if he's only charging $15,000, he's banking on the idea that I can sell it cheaper than it would cost someone to sue me for it. So I'm not going to get sued. So these are the different ways that the laws can be skirted here, basically using a low price point to avoid getting sued. But that greater issue, and that's what I want to emphasize here, is that under U.S. cyber squatting laws, you cannot register someone else, a living person's domain name, simply for profit purposes.
Interesting. So if someone registered TomAckerman.com, I'd have to prove that they were doing it to profit off my name, not that I'd have to prove that I was going to use it.
Correct. On the other hand, if I wanted to register the domain name TomAckermanIsTheBest.com, from that perspective, I'm exercising my freedom of speech.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Well, I appreciate the compliment. You are the best.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
We've learned so much this morning.
Yeah.
Brad Young, KMOX Legal Analyst, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure.